Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to be talking all things art this morning. Sue Henderson with the Fredericksburg Arts Commission and focused by Henderson.com here this morning, along with Amy Bain. She is the editor of the Fredericksburg Literary Review. Good morning to both of you. Thank you both for getting up early and coming on in.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Sue, you and I are going to get together every month or so, and you're going to bring with you some people in the arts community and or just people that you find exceedingly interesting in the community to talk with
right,
us.
Right, and interesting art events of all kinds that are happening in the region. Yeah.
So this is the kind of the first of that. Amy is back with us. Amy Bain, the editor of the Fredericksburg Literary Review. You came in, I guess it was last fall.
Yes.
And kind of talked about your kind of goals and what you were looking for. You brought in a copy of, was that the first cop, the first Fredericksburg?
Yes, that was our fall edition, and that was the new format that we went to, more of a magazine format, which is available to purchase online. There are a few copies floating around town. I think Pawn Shop has a couple, but mostly it's an online, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm. The magazine itself is very high quality.
Yeah, we're very happy with the way it turned out. The quality is quite nice, and it's quite long. It's about 148 pages.
Yeah, lots mm-hmm. of stuff. We'll talk about what it is. What is the Fredericksburg Literary Review?
Okay, so it's a Fredericksburg Literary and Arts Review, and we sometimes call it FLAR, just for short, so we don't have to say all the words. It is basically a submission magazine, just like you would see literary magazines, art magazines, where anyone can submit their work. We have two panels of experts. Our panels this time for our spring edition, we have an art panel made up of some local artists, Christopher Limbrick, Kirsty Smith, and Courtney Jones, and a literary panel comprised of editor and writer Mary Basilia, author James Knoll, and poet Todd Drake. So I try to pick people that have expertise in the two areas, and those people are seeing the submissions as blind submissions, so they don't see names on them. They are choosing the best work that comes in. And so we have work coming from all over the world, throughout the U.S., different continents. And I'd like to see a lot more coming from Fredericksburg because it is the Fredericksburg Literary and Art Review.
There's a deadline coming up, right? March 18th, is that right?
Yes, our window is open right now, and March 18th is the deadline, right? And you can find out information on how to submit at our website, FredericksburgWriters.com. There are a bunch of tabs there, and one of them says submissions. So,
this seems like a way, Amy, to get for a person that's an artist or mm-hmm. a writer, what have you, really is a chance to get their work out and seen.
It is, and that's kind of our mission. I've been an artist and writer in the area for quite a long time, and I've always liked promoting people. I've written for Front Porch for years now, and always like to grab the most interesting people I find and write about them. And so my mission in turning this into a broader magazine was to, make sure it was inclusive. I want a lot of diversity of work and people and include people from all over the area and the world to help our artists and writers in Fredericksburg represent themselves to the world.
Isn't there like a writers group that's meeting somewhat regularly or was? Or I think Water Street Studios, you started there with this. There was a writers group.
Yeah, they have a writers group. You'd have to go on their website to find out when that runs. But I also know that Riverside Writers is our Virginia writers group here in town, and that runs out of Salem Church Library. So we have a couple in town. There's also Commonwealth Slam, which is a poetry spoken word once a month at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library. So there are quite a few groups in town doing writing, and I'm sure the college has its own as well. So
So it's worth it if that's what you do, or you like to hang around and do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Look around. There are things out there.
There are. And, you know, most of those groups I've been a part of at one point or another, and the challenge for those groups mainly is to get people consistently coming, because people will come and enjoy it, but our lives are so busy that sometimes we don't make time for our art and our craft because we, you know, we get it wrapped up in our daily lives. But if you really want to write or you know, create, you have to make time for those things. And so those places are often very, you know, inspiring places to be. When you're there, you're very inspired and pumped up by the people you're with. And so it's a good practice to get into, allow yourself to have that time. So,
Sue, you've been around here in other areas and been involved with the arts and that kind of thing. Has the internet and social media, has that changed how people do things?
Absolutely. I mean,
because you don't always have to go somewhere.
Right, you don't physically have to go somewhere. But and that's maybe not a great thing, as Amy was just saying. You know, sense of community and working together can be really more effective in person. But when it comes to promoting things, and I mean, I find that the performing arts and the visual arts are pretty well represented. I mean, we see a lot about them on a regular basis. And what I'm intrigued about with the Literary Arts Review is that it really gives those writers a little more exposure and a little more opportunity to get out there. I'm wondering, Amy, is there age limits on it, or is it just an issue of a quality level based
it's
on your juror standards?
Quality level, yes.
Yeah.
Which is
great.
No age limit. I mean, I really can't judge that, because I know some very young people that write, and if you looked at their writing without knowing who they were, you would not know how old they were, you know. So I really don't think it's fair to put an age limit on something when some people have that talent and quality.
That's another thing about it. You know, there's this cross-generational possibility, and it's all blind jurying anyway,
yep.
So it's not like, you know, anybody is going to say, oh, we can't do that because he's 13, you know.
Right.
And I do think you're right. I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit later about the teen art show at the library, but it's really interesting the level, and maybe the internet and social media are in contributing to the level of education of younger people, high school age. They're certainly
Well, I think,
prolific.
Too, I mean, I've been in education for 15 years, and there are kids, and I've taught middle school level, so, you know, it's 11 through 14 or so, 15. And there are kids that have that natural talent. Yeah. I mean, there are kids who have come through my classroom and just blown me away with their writing because, it's so mature and you just wouldn't expect it.
And at the same time, there's lots and lots of people who have been hiding their light under a bushel for a very long time, who are very good writers who have not ever found a local opportunity to be published.
Amy, if someone wants to submit something and learn more about the Fredericksburg Literary Arts Review, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, our email address is flreditors@gmail.com. But you can also get to that email through the website fredericksburgwriters.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well.
And you said the 18th is the deadline to submit something.
Yes.
To get into the Fredericksburg.
And that's a Friday.
Okay,
so,
March 18th. Amy Bain here, Sue Henderson here. We'll continue to talk about the Fredericksburg Literary Arts Review during the next segment when we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Let's be honest.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking art this morning. Amy Bain here, the editor of the Fredericksburg Literary Arts Review, and Sue Henderson with the Fredericksburg Arts Commission is here. Amy, you were the March 18th, you mentioned, the deadline to submit for the magazine. And even magazine isn't the pages are thick on it. I mean, it has a very academic kind of feel to it.
Yeah, the quality, the production quality of the magazine, we're really happy with that. It comes from a publisher online, and the cost is a little high, but it really makes it worth it, especially for a biannual magazine, because you have a lot of content there and quality content, so we want to represent it properly.
overall, I would think that to have something like that in this community, and you can jump in with this too, Sue, if you want to, but just for just the arts community in this area to have something just a little bit higher brow is something that says a lot about this community.
I agree. I think it just ups the ante. It raises the profile of the quality level of the work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think with our panel, design of our panels and how the panels actually, I switch them out each time. So we have new people on the panels, new experts. So, you know, I did that in so that people will feel like, you know, they're getting a fair shot at this. So, you know, not to feel bad if you don't get in, because it's a really competitive kind of process, but without any names. So I think that's very fair. And
besides the submissions, there are feature articles. Is that right?
Yes, we have a lot of features. I'd love to talk about the features.
Yeah, what do you got?
For May. So, okay, on the writing side of things, on the literary side, we have a couple of people that people probably recognize their names, but I think some that'll be new to people. We have our local author, Steve Watkins. He was an original mentor for the Fredericksburg Literary Review through Water Street. And, of course, we want to do a shout-out to Water Street because they're our sort of they instigated this whole thing in the beginning. So, but Steve Watkins is an author. He's a young adult author right now. His latest book coming out is called Great Falls, and it was inspired by a series of articles he did for the Freelance Star about a soldier coming back with PTSD. So it's pretty engaging storyline. He's also hit one of his books that he wrote a long time ago called The Big O, which was a nonfiction book, has been optioned for a movie. So he's got some exciting things coming in besides his opening of the Yoga Foundation of Fredericksburg, which opens today. So he's got all kinds of things going on in town. We've got a poet, Govinda Purana, who is connected to our Fredericksburg Region Kathmandu Valley Sister right. City Association here in Fredericksburg. Sue knows Govinda. Right. We're both involved with that. And he is a fascinating man. He's, you know, here in the United, like many immigrants, he's here in the United States working a 9-to-5 job just like the rest of us. But he is a very well-known writer and poet in his own country. And so we just don't know about these people who are here. They have these lives outside of being here, you know. So he's so fascinating. Maura Wilson Schneider runs Tell up at Liberty Town. I did an interview with her and went to the Tell and took pictures.
You've heard about Tell, have you?
Mm-hmm. I have not heard about Tell.
Tell is short stories, basically extemporaneous, mm-hmm. You know, and is it monthly?
I wrote it down here. It's the second Saturday, March 12th is the topic Desperado, and April 9th is stories about songs.
So how does it work?
Anybody goes up and signs up to tell
a
short
story. 3 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, it's a timed short story, and mm-hmm. you're just, you know, sharing storytelling. I think mm-hmm. it's like the old salon days where, mm-hmm. you know, you had raconteurs that would just tell a story and just crack everybody up and, or, you know, touch everyone in a more meaningful way.
And it's a real positive vibe. You know, you go there, the audience is, you know, really appreciative for your telling your story. I interviewed Brian McEnany, who's an author of the book For Brotherhood and Duty. He was a graduate of the West Point class of 1962, and for his 35th class reunion, he started research on the class of 1862, which was fantastic because it was the class that was like right as the Civil War was breaking out. And so his book follows these 12, I believe it is, 12 cadets as they go to war. And all of his source work is mostly primary source letters, and, you know, it's just really fantastic. That book might be available here in town soon, and he might be able to do a signing here in town soon. He did a lot of his research here in Fredericksburg, of course, Civil War. I am interviewing a former UMW grad, Alaha Arar. She was a national youth poet in Canada. She grew up in Afghanistan during the time when girls could not go to school. And so her parents got her out of Afghanistan. She was educated in Pakistan. And when she was going to UMW, she was part of the program where they were helping Afghani girls come over to study in college. Right. And she would do speeches. This is how I got to know her. She would do speeches about the effects of war. It was part of her thesis on women and children. And so now she's an activist and human rights advocate up around the Springfield area. And she helps to run the Afghan Women's Writing Project. So they do poetry. And then our local haiku poet, Gary Barnes. No, people probably don't know Gary. If they do know him, it would be sort of a local group of people. But we have an expert haiku poet here in town who's won international awards. And he has a resource online that anybody can go and visit called Haiku Poets Hut. And his haiku writing name is Soji.
Isn't this fabulous? Like, had you ever heard?
No, what's haiku?
Haiku is a Japanese form of poetry. You learn it in school, 5-7-5 syllables, but Gary says that's flexible. There's some flexibility there. So I would encourage people, if they're interested in that, to look at his website, Haiku Poets Hut.
Who knew?
That's just the literary side of things. on our art side, I interviewed Joelle Kathleen, who's a painter in town. She's got work up at La Petite. She shows at Sunken Well sometimes. She's very well known for her landscapes. She's got these kind of haunting landscapes and bare tree kind of paintings, very sort of vulnerable and strong at the same time when you're looking at them. I've got Johnny Johnson, interviews with him. He turned 80 this year. He's our wonderful local artist. People know Johnny, but our conversation is not over. We actually had such a good time talking, we ran out of time, and we're going to have to do a part two because he was telling me so many fascinating historical things about the region. We've got Carolyn Goodrich, who I believe is living in Colonial Beach. She works for up in D.C. She's executive director of a nonprofit called Art Impact USA. And she's actually going to be at the UUFF Gallery March and April with her encaustic paintings, and she'll have a workshop there.
Do you know what encaustic paintings are, Ted?
Once again, no.
Yeah, no, I wasn't sure if you knew or the audience would know. Encaustic is sort of melted wax. So when you see them, they're both reflective and very thick. Mm-hmm. So it's like soft, waxy, and you use different colors of wax. And Carolyn is particularly well known for that, and teaches a lot of classes.
I think she had a piece
in
the Guggenheim.
She's also done some international shows. Yeah. She does abstract work, but the technique is basically similar to melting wax and making it artistic.
Yeah. She's an independent curator and ambassador to the National Museum of African American History and Culture as well.
And again, tucked right here in our region.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, this is just amazing, some of the things that you learn about what's here in the region. And to get to know the art scene, go down to Liberty Town or go around and check some of these things out.
Right. Two more.
Yeah, just two more real quick. Nancy Michael is one of our local gems. She's a costume designer, has worked with Riverside before. She's actually a professor up at Catholic University, or she teaches up there. And she lives in King George, so she's local as well. And then for a gallery, I'm doing a little outreach, and I'm going down to New City Arts Initiative in Charlottesville and interviewing their artists in residence. Doing that next week, so...
This keeps you busy.
Yes.
it does show the depth of the arts community around here.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of people moving in here or people that have just been involved in this kind of thing, this gives them a platform.
Yes, and I think that's part of our mission. You know, I talked a little bit a few minutes ago, inclusiveness, representation of our artists, connections to other artists around the U.S. and around the world, and then promoting Fredericksburg as a place that supports its artists and loves its artists. I know we have so many people here who are willing to support the arts and do that every day. You know, people that have the funds to buy the art, people that donate to the arts, which you can donate to this magazine as well. We have a donation site on our website, little plug there. But check us out. And, you know, that's kind of our mission. That's our platform. We want to promote our writers and our artists, the highest quality work we can. So
it is. It is the Fredericksburg Literary Arts Review. March 18th is the submission deadline. And do people get things in early? Is this like getting a paper done in college or high school? You wait till the end.
we will take anything up until midnight on March 18th. And then after that, we start sending notes back saying, you know, try next time. And that's for my panels. You know, they have to have a time when they're
done. And this edition will be out in May?
May, yes. May and November are my two publication times.
The numbers of submissions you've got over the last time, is it up? Is it getting around?
Yes, it is. We've had probably about 250 literary submissions and fewer art submissions. We've had about 60 art submissions. So we really want to get more art submissions. Writing too. We'll take more writing, but you know, and we've already started accepting a few, and you know, they're coming out, and people that have sent things in will start seeing some notices. And
well, and it occurs to me, Amy, that something like this, if you're a high school student, mm-hmm. and you can somehow crack it and get into it, that looks good on a college application,
yeah.
or
mm-hmm.
for just a regular person that's involved, this is a nice thing to be able to put on your resume.
Definitely. And I've noticed a lot of the people that are submitting, you know, when they send me their bios, which I get, but my panels don't get, you know, their bios are full of places that they've submitted to. But I also know, as you know, from being a writer, that means they've probably submitted to hundreds of places,
right.
and they've gotten into maybe, you know, 10 or 15. So that's one thing I would encourage writers, never to get discouraged as you get rejections, because it just, that's what happens. You know, you get rejected, you got to get used to that. So
I was going to ask you what the best part of doing this is, and I guess one of the things, and because you've mentioned it, you're meeting a lot of interesting people.
Oh yes, it's the thing I enjoy most about it, just promoting people and meeting people and talking to people, making those connections with people. I like to connect people to each other as well. So as I'm meeting people, I'm telling people, you know, them about other people and hooking people up together. So I like doing that.
Again, if someone wants to submit, how can they do that?
FredericksburgWriters.com.
Yeah. As simple as that. And,
yep.
and again, March 18th is the deadline. Amy Bain here, Sue Henderson here. Sue, you're going to stick around, and we're going to continue to talk.
Exactly.
Amy, thank you for the information.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Thanks so much.
More coming up this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are focusing on the arts this morning. Sue Anderson, Fredericksburg Arts Commission here. Also, Sue does a lot of art things on her own in a variety of formats. Focusedbyhenderson.com. You can find out all about Sue Henderson. Focusedbyhenderson.com. We're going to, I guess, talk for the remainder of the show of just, Sue, some things that are going to be coming up and going on.
Up and coming.
In the area in the next little bit.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm going to try to do things chronologically so that it makes a little sense for the listener, because I could be all over the map if I wasn't. But I don't know if you've been by the library lately, but I think they opened on Friday night, the Teen Art Show. And I know a lot of people will go in the library or see art in the atrium there at Central Rappahannock Library down on Caroline Street. But this show is fabulous, absolutely spectacular. They're running all high school age art. And I stopped by there to check out the show. Really, I'm so impressed, as we were saying earlier, with the level. I think a lot can be said for the art educators in the area that are just amazing teachers, and I know many of them. But the students that work is being highlighted there, you'll love it all. Some of it is very abstract. Some of it's very bright and colorful. Some is very dark. Drawing, charcoal, oils. It runs the whole gamut. You could probably even see something encaustic over there if you want to see a little bit more what that looks like.
I've learned that in haiku this morning, so you've already helped educate me. No, I was just going to say to you just about the teachers in this area and whether it's teachers that encourage writing or art. Some schools, it's just they're getting they're getting college level kind of instruction.
They absolutely are getting college level instruction in many cases. There's no question about it. I've seen a number of these student art shows. You know, Stafford does one every year around about April time frame where they bring in all the art in the area. I'm sure Spotsylvania and the city do the same thing. It's just amazing. And again, you know, here's the library once again, who's very strong supporters of all the arts, stepping up with a really wonderful show. So stop by there. Incidentally, that show, it's not the Library Art Show is not always open on First Friday. This show is. So this coming First Friday, you can add that to your list of places you want to stop in and check out. And speaking of First Friday, so, you know, we've got the First Friday trolley is free. If people didn't know, that's a free trolley on the First Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. So think that through. You can park once.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is a big accomplishment. If you've ever tried to park down there around Artful Dimensions or the William Street restaurant scene or Liberty Town, it's pretty tricky.
Yeah.
So park once, ride the trolley. But the Arts Commission is running for 6 months a trolley contest. So you can pick up your entry form at any of 11 galleries downtown and drop it in. And it's a free drawing for $25. We're just trying to track where different people are getting on, or you know what galleries people are getting on more at and others. So all of the galleries' entry forms are color-coded. And the gallery also wins. So if you want to support your local gallery, the gallery that the winner, kind of like the lottery, you know, when you drew, when somebody wins the lottery, the location that sells the ticket also wins something. That's how this is working, too.
Through things like Via Calori or other things, First Friday. I mean, I've gotten to know some of the people at some of the number of art galleries around here to me is just really surprising, because I was under the impression, there were just a few. There's a really big and growing business.
There are 11 participating galleries in the First Friday walk that we know of. There might be a few more that slip in and out or are periodic, like the library, which is not normally on that list of 11. So let me see if I can remember these. It's Art First and Brush Strokes together there on Caroline Street, the 810 Weekend Gallery on Caroline, Pawn Shop and Freebird Studios also on Caroline Street. You got Water Street Studios, FCCA, that's the Fredericksburg Center of Creative Arts, and Sophia Street Studios all on Sophia Street, Art Mart up on Princess Anne Street, Liberty Town, Artful Dimensions. That might have covered them all.
Oh, you did that all by memory too. You had no list. You were just, I could see you, your
could
mind
see the wheels turning.
Was in you were picturing each of them. But no, that's a good number. And I know a lot of people, someday I'll do it, but I know a lot of people who have taken up some kind of, whether it's a pottery class or painting or
Many
whatever.
Of these galleries offer classes. You just heard Amy talk about the genesis of FLAR is out of Water Street Studios in their writers group. Yeah.
So if you want to get involved in something, and I may be doing some encaustic by the next
time
you see me, I'll have my have a couple little things and you can look at them and just say, keep at it. Keep trying.
You know, art is subjective and abstract art is particularly easy. There you go. He's smiling at me, folks. So also, listen, this is very important. Also on Friday is the deadline, both for Stafford County and the city of Fredericksburg, for any arts nonprofit organization to apply for challenge grants. These are very easy grants to get to be included in. The processes are super easy. You can look it up on the City of Fredericksburg or the Stafford County websites. If you can't find it, contact me, sue@focusbyhenderson.com, and I'll send you the applications. I can send you the links. But these grants are amazing. The State Commission for the Arts matches what the locality offers. So I believe Fredericksburg has a $10,000 budget to hand out for nonprofit arts. I know Stafford County has $5,000. These are just ways for the locality to help support nonprofit arts. So if you haven't already put your application in, if you are a nonprofit in either of those localities, you still have time, and they're not complicated. You can do these in a couple of days.
To be able to get a grant like that, it opens up some things you can do.
Absolutely. I know that any number of performing arts groups have used them before. One year, I believe Stage Door Productions used it to put lights in the library auditorium. As an example, you know, they're really strong grants, and the intention is the state is encouraging localities to support by providing money. So if that's free money, they're sitting there for any nonprofit arts organization.
So what else you got there?
March 6th is the Fredericksburg Big Band's 50th anniversary concert. So I don't think you want to miss that. It's at Dodd Auditorium. That's this coming Sunday at 2 p.m. And it's free. And if you haven't experienced the Fredericksburg Big Band, there's a reason they're still around after 50 years.
50 years.
Isn't that spectacular?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
March 18th through 20th is the 65th anniversary of the Fredericksburg Women's Art Show, Women's Club Art Show. 65 years they've been running this art show. It's at the Dorothy Hart Community Center on Canal Street, March 18th through 20th. That's a little bit of a departure. In the past, they've had it over two weekends. This year, they're going to do one weekend.
Well, you talk about art, though, in that kind of, or now you talk about just the arts and yeah. What you talk about that. Those two groups, they've got a lot of history.
That's
behind
longevity.
Them. Yeah.
You know? 50 years for a big band group is amazing, and that group has just always been altruistic. They have very, very low, really only costs for their equipment fees, and they only support what the band votes to support. So they do nonprofit events mostly, and support what folks want, what the band members feel are worthy causes.
You know, we were talking a few minutes ago about the type of instruction kids are getting in schools. Mm-hmm. I just remembered this. It was a week ago today. Some members of the JM of this past weekend did the
Right.
for their play, and five of the kids and the part of the cast all came in, and they were just fantastic and enthusiastic, and in all of them wanted to go beyond this with what they were doing. So the future is bright.
The future is really bright. Performing artists are doing well in this area too a lot. There's been so many kids that have gone through the Riverside Center besides
yes.
all of the local, almost every local dance studio, music theater studios in the area, lots and lots of opportunities. CYT has been amazing. The Christian Youth Theater Group mm-hmm. has been amazing.
I was just going to say, you them, and you've got Stage Door Productions.
And you know, one of their directors, Samantha Graves, was Gretel in Sound of Music with me at Riverside at the Millennium.
Really?
So here you've got this cute little, literally six-year-old Gretel, and she has now gone on. She's gotten a degree in performing arts. She's now one of their major directors and choreographers
yeah.
of their productions.
Wow. For somebody like you, that has got to be exciting to see. That's
really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sue Anderson
yeah.
here. We're going to take a break, come back, and wrap this up this morning. We're talking about just some different arts opportunities in the area. If you want to get a hold of Sue Anderson and talk with her about what she does, and she does a number of things, focusbyhenderson.com. She's also on the Fredericksburg Arts Commission. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Sue Anderson here. We're talking arts in the area and been going through the calendar of events. March 10th through April 13th, Sue, at the Sunken Well, there is a watercolor and acrylic abstracts, and I think you know the artist.
Yeah, it's me. Thanks for this shameless self-promotion.
Yay!
I've got a show. You know, it's not going to happen every month this way that I actually have something of my own to promote. Just happened that way. Yes, it's called Loosely Local. I live along the river. I'm blessed to live along the Rappahannock, and I have a lot of abstracts and watercolors that I create that are connected to, in some way or other, the region and especially the river.
So how long did this, to do something like this, to pull something like this off, how long have you been working on these these pictures?
Let's see. I'll try to keep this brief. I had for a long time been known for international travel with Royal Caribbean, and I had a lot of international things, and I felt like I wanted to apply my skills that I used looking at it as a tourist in far and away places to local scenes. So probably over the last couple of years, I've been intentionally trying to look at this region as if I was as if it was fresh eyes, and create these.
I'll embarrass you even further, because you and I got to know each other well a few years ago when you were running Stafford County's the 350th celebration, and I knew you did art, and I knew you were involved in things. The opening of the amphitheater that night, you sang the national anthem, and you sang it well.
Well, thanks. That's where I started in the arts. That's where my degree is, in music and performing. So I have a much longer resume in performing arts than I do in visual arts.
So your involvement in all of this, because you've been involved in a number of different variation of things through the years, either through the city or in King George or around the area. It's not only something you're interested in, it's something you're involved in.
Oh, absolutely. It's who I am. I determined maybe, 15 years ago that whatever I get involved in has to involve creativity in some sort. Yes, I don't know. Sometimes I used to call myself a Renaissance woman, and other times I just call myself, distracted.
Can't hold on to a steady job.
But yeah, I just can't keep on to anything. But if it's something arts related, I'm interested.
So this program,
the opening's on March 10th at Sunken Well, and yes. I've got my good friend pianist Ray Dempsey coming in. We're going to do some sing along stuff. So
you like sing alongs?
I like sing alongs. I love Ray Dempsey, and he has a whole bunch of sing alongs. I cannot concentrate on promoting my art on the wall and solo perform. So this is a way to get people engaged in both. Come and sing, come hang around, and just enjoy, kickback.
So the opening reception is March the 10th at the Sunken Wells at on Little Page Street, 720 Little Page, in the city, and looks like a fun time. How many pieces do you have in this show?
The wall space there is interesting. I think I've sorted it out somewhere between 16 and 20 will be up on the wall. They're all ready to go. It's just a question of how we fit them in to the walls. There's windows. Okay.
And you usually don't have that when you're looking at
not always
a gallery. It occurred with what's available in this area, and no matter what you do in the arts, with not too much effort, you can find your niche, or even create your own niche of something that you do with the arts. And probably if there's something you're interested in, there's somebody already doing it.
I think so. I mean, so far, that's been the case in my experience, 20 or so years in the area, being involved in different kind of art forms. There probably is. There's not much. I did not know we had an internationally renowned haiku artist. I did not know that. So you always learn something new every day, which is great. I do want to solicit people. If you want to be included in this show or included in this conversation, please let me know. Sue@focusbyhenderson.com or reach out to me, Facebook, or wherever you see me around. I'm certainly around town. So.
And Sue will bring you in, and we'll talk about your particular event on certain months. And as a lot of things start picking up around here, weather starts warming up.
Yep. Well, we're going to try to do this once a month on the last Monday of the month, and so that gives people an opportunity to look at what they're doing the next month and maybe talk about things. I know I'm talking to Preston Thayer next month about public art and the public art program being looked at in the city.
Okay. When you were talking about the schools and what they do with art. In Spotsylvania County, in the where the school board meets every month, they have different artwork by the kids, and you look at that and you just think that is really, really good stuff. And you go to any of these, go to any of the art galleries around town, just fantastic stuff.
There's plenty of inspiration. There's certainly plenty of inspiration, and of course, you even musically, you've got the Festival of the Arts coming, and you run in the whole gamut, with the sort of cutting edge, youthful oriented art and music happening, all the way to more classical things. This 50th anniversary of the big band, all sorts of wonderful events coming up.
You're doing this acrylic abstracts. Do you do other kind of paintings? Is that your thing?
I'm moving into that. I've done more watercolor realism in the last few years in terms of what I'm learning. I've been studying with Johnny Johnson, who can't help but infuse his interest in abstract onto willing participants. But I really have been enjoying both. So this show will have both.
You were doing, the last time I saw you in an art world context, you were over at Chatham.
Yes.
Doing your thing for, what was that? I can't even remember what that was
actually,
called.
Actually, you know, that's interesting. That was it was a program funded by the challenge for the Commission of the Arts grant program to do Plein Air at Chatham.
Plein Air, that was it.
And those things are going to be sold on May 1st at an auction supportive of the whole Friends of Chatham program.
So, that's, and I'm involved in that in some way, and I know it's May 1st. I don't know, I forgot where it's at, but we'll
once
have
again
details.
We'll be there together.
We'll have details. Well, Sue, thank you so much. Good stuff here. And again, if someone in the arts community wants to talk to you about becoming part of this show or getting involved with you, focusbyhenderson.com is the best way to contact you.
Yeah,
focusbyhenderson.com. Thank you, Sue.
Thanks. It's fun.
Thank you for listening. That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.